2 minutes before 7 o'clock from KIXI.
Bringing you the bright and beautiful sound of music. This is Stereo 96 FM or 91 AM, KIXI, Seattle.
At the tone, 7 o'clock exactly, as President Gerald Ford addresses the nation and announces his nomination for vice president, we now join CBS.
This is a CBS News special report. President Ford nominates a vice president. I'm Neil Strauser with my colleague Jed Duval reporting on the CBS radio network. The members of the cabinet and the leaders of the Congress are waiting in the Oval Office of the White House for the appearance of Gerald Ford and his choice for vice president. A possible indication of that choice, former New York Governor Nelson Rockefeller arrived at the airport here this morning to be met by R. John Meyer, among others.
What brings you to Washington, sir?
Well, a call.
A call from whom?
From the president. Hi, gentlemen.
Are you going to be the vice president?
Well, you'd have to ask him.
You want to be?
I think at this point there's no comment I can appropriately make on it except the weather.
How was the weather?
And it was lovely in Maine.
And again, Jed Duval, perhaps he's just here to congratulate the man who is the choice.
Well, Neil, he arrived in Nelson Rockefeller style, three family jets, and we're about to hear from the president.
He's still not entered the Oval Office. Standing on either side of that desk in the Oval Office, behind which is a microphone on a stand, are the members of the Congress, the bipartisan leaders of the Congress, to the right of the desk, as we would look at it, and to the left, the members of the cabinet. Immediately heading the members of the cabinet, the Secretary of State, Henry Kissinger, Speaker of the House, Carl Albert, Mike Mansfield, of the Senate, Hugh Scott, the Republican leader of the Senate.
We understand that the president will enter the room with the person who is to be named, and perhaps with that person's wife. And the odds this morning have shifted heavily to the former New York governor, Nelson Rockefeller, 66 years old, four times elected governor of New York, and first appointed by a president six presidents ago. Franklin Delano Roosevelt appointed him in 1940, about the time Gerald Ford was going off to war.
Appointed him to serve as coordinator of inter-American affairs in that period, and he served for 4 years in that job. As we say, we don't have any definite indication it is Nelson Rockefeller, but we do know he's been summoned back from vacation in Maine, has flown here with three plane loads of aides. There is, however, a matter of congressional action before this choice becomes official. Can be sworn in as vice president. Under the 25th Amendment, the nomination is made by the president, but it is the Congress which must approve it by a majority vote of both houses. That, of course, is the same procedure followed for the selection of Gerald Ford as vice president.
The door is open.
Succeeding Spiro Agnew. The door to the Oval Office is cracked just a bit and it swung shut again.
Somebody had a peek to see if everybody was there.
Senator Frank Moss, who was nearest the door, tried to look through and is laughing. I don't think he quite succeeded in seeing who's there.
Maybe they wanted to make sure the lights were on. You know, it's difficult, Neil, to imagine what would bring Nelson Rockefeller away from vacation in Maine other than an announcement of this magnitude. We don't think he's here for some routine governmental conference. I can't imagine what would bring all three of those family jets down there. So many that the reporters really couldn't keep track at the airport this morning of who was arriving on which one of these private Nelson Rockefeller airlines.
It's not all clear that as yet that Mrs. Rockefeller arrived on any one of those flights. At least no one spotted her. But we assume if he is to be the choice that she will also emerge through that door, that white door from to the Oval Office of the White House. Still they wait.
This is something of a turnaround since last Saturday when it appeared to an awfully large number of reporters at the White House before, during, and after three separate briefings in morning, midday, and afternoon that the door is open. The president is entering. Mrs. Ford.
Mrs. Ford behind.
And Nelson Rockefeller.
Do not see Mrs. Rockefeller.
Governor Rockefeller shakes hands with Hugh Scott.
And with the Speaker of the House, Carl Albert, and stands beside the President.
Mr. Speaker, members of the leadership of the House and Senate, members of the Cabinet, after a great deal of soul-searching, after considering the advice of members of the Congress, Republicans, as well as the Democratic leadership, after consulting with many, many people within the Republican Party and without, I have made a decision which I would now like to announce to the American people. This was a difficult decision, but the man that I am selecting as nominee for Vice President is a person whose long record of accomplishment in the government and outside is well known. He comes from a family that has long been associated with the building of a better America. It's a family that has contributed significantly to many accomplishments, both at home and abroad, for the American people. His achievements in government are well known. He served in the Department of State under former President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He served under the presidency of Harry Truman. He served in the Department of HEW under President Eisenhower. He has served as governor of the great Empire State, the state of New York, for 15 years, the longest period of time in the history of the state of New York. He is known across the land as a person dedicated to the free enterprise system, a person who is recognized abroad for his talents, for his dedication to making this a peaceful world. It was a tough call for a tough job. The number of people who were considered by me in the process were all men of and women of great quality. They came from those suggested to me who serve in the Congress, the Senate, and the House of Representatives. The names included individuals who had served their respective states with great credit. The names included individuals who were in government, but not in Washington. The names included individuals who were not connected with government. But after a long and very thoughtful process, I have made the choice, and that choice is Nelson Rockefeller of New York State. It is my honor and privilege to introduce to you a good partner for me, and I think a good partner for our country and the world. So I now announce officially that I will send the name of Nelson Rockefeller to the Congress of the United States for confirmation. Nelson.
Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, and leaders of the Congress, Mr. Secretary of State, and members of the Cabinet, and friends. Mr. President, your nomination of me to be Vice President of the United States under the 25th Amendment of the Constitution makes me very humble. If I'm confirmed, it'll be my great honor to serve you, and through you, to serve all of the people of this great country. As you pointed out in your moving message to the Congress, these are very serious times. And at times, as you pointed out, that require the closest cooperation between the Congress of the United States and the executive branch of government. They also require the dedication of every American to our common national interest. You, Mr. President, through your dedication and your openness, have already reawakened faith and hope. And under your leadership, we as a people and we as a nation have the will, the determination, and the capability to overcome the hard realities of our times. I'm optimistic about the long-term future. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
So I thought, Jed Duval, I heard President Ford saying something like, we're going to make a great team. As they stepped off microphone, Nelson Rockefeller is now making his way down the line of leaders of the Congress, those who, of course, will have to see to his confirmation, shaking hands with each man, receiving from each a smile. Les Ahrens, Senator Norris Cotton, congratulations from the members of the Congress. There will, we are sure, still be a very careful examination of the financial affairs and background of Nelson Rockefeller before the Congress carries out its, for the second time, its duties under the 25th Amendment to confirm a vice presidential choice. Rockefeller now passing down the line of members of the cabinet, shaking hands with Henry Kissinger. Of course, he's really responsible for Kissinger because he employed Kissinger himself as a foreign affairs advisor before he came to the attention of Richard Nixon.
He will have to go through this Senate scrutiny, the one that Ford went through late last year. And I guess Ford's the only man who can tell him really what it's like, the background and financial review. Neil, we have Bob Pierpoint at the White House now, who's been watching this from there. Bob?
Well, I think that it had ceased to be a real surprise. Most everyone had, by this time, figured that since Governor Rockefeller had flown down here this morning and had said he'd been summoned to the White House, that he was going to be the nominee. And this is obviously, once again, by President Ford, a move to heal, perhaps not wounds, but at least rifts. And that is particularly rifts within the Republican Party, because Mr. Ford himself has always represented and been a member of the conservative wing of the party, Governor Rockefeller of the more liberal wing of the party and of the Eastern establishment. And the party has been deeply divided over, well, among other things, over the issue of Nelson Rockefeller himself. He has tried three times to run for president. Three times the conservative wing of the party has rejected him, and he's been defeated in his efforts. And now President Ford is obviously making a gesture to the liberal wing of the party to get behind the new team of Ford and Rockefeller. One thing I think is important to note, and I don't know why it is, but Mrs. Rockefeller is not here. At least she has not been visible.
We're told she's still in Maine, Bob.
Uh-huh. Well, that was a bit of a surprise because we had been told last night that whoever the president nominated today would have with him his wife. Perhaps she's ill or something else. We don't know about that.
Bob, this is Jed. I wonder if we could talk for a minute about the president and the right wing of the Republican Party. And after yesterday's announcement about earned amnesty, if that's the phrase, and today the naming of Nelson Rockefeller, I wonder what you think the far-right wing of the Republican Party is going to do, how it's going to react, and whether it makes a difference to Mr. Ford.
Well, I think, first of all, the far right wing, if I understand the phrase correctly, probably the extremist wing is not really with the Republican Party anymore. It's off in an area of its own, and men like this Philadelphia lawyer, Hamilton Long, who apparently tried to sabotage Governor Rockefeller's nomination and may in the long run have actually helped it, men like that and women like that are not really, in the true sense, members of the Republican Party anymore. I would think that the conservative element of the party, as evidenced by perhaps Senator Barry Goldwater, who soundly trounced Governor Rockefeller in his first try for the presidency or the Republican Party nomination, I would guess that Senator Goldwater has been apprised of this. And probably the party solidarity in that area is already achieved. I would imagine that the conservatives now realize that President Ford wants party unity as well as national unity, and that they will form behind him.
Bob, excuse me, but Goldwater said a couple of weeks ago that he thought he, Goldwater, was too old, and he thought that Rockefeller was too old, although he would accept Rockefeller as a vice presidential nominee. He's 66 now.
And I guess he will have to accept Rockefeller. You know, one thing that occurs to me in all of this is that by 1976, the vice president, if he in fact is confirmed by the Senate, will be 68 years old. And President Ford has not ever really said he wanted to run for re-election. I'm wondering if this is an indication that the Rockefeller-Ford team is not necessarily going to go through a 1976 election campaign.
Of course, Rockefeller did seem to be preparing for another run at the presidency, Bob, because he'd resigned as governor of New York to apparently lay the groundwork for some such run in 1976. So we really don't know at this stage what is going to happen in the next 2 years. But it would seem to me, Bob Pierpont and Jed Duval, that President Ford has succeeded in balancing his ticket, at least for the next 2 years, by bringing in an Easterner and a governor. I believe you figured, Jed Duval, this is the first governor to hold the office.
Second since
Spiro Agnew. Spiro Agnew being the other one. And he has reached out away from the Congress. Ford himself has wide experience with the Congress. He's reached for a man who has some experience in state government and
international affairs, too.
International affairs as well. So, Gerald Ford has made his choice, Nelson Rockefeller. He said in his opening remarks, it was a tough call. But he said, after a long and very thoughtful process, I have made the choice, and that choice is Nelson Rockefeller of New York State, will be a good partner for me, he said, and a good partner for the nation and the world. This has been a CBS News special report. President Ford nominates a vice president. With my colleagues Jed Duval and Robert Pierpont, I'm Neil Strausser, CBS News, Washington.
EIXI News 90, now 7:18. Good morning, Dean.
Thank you, Jim. Well, as we just heard about it, our news break this morning has been, of course, preempted by the announcement of Nelson Rockefeller as President Ford's nominee for vice president. We'll continue to keep you updated here on KIXI's News 90 as things happen from around the world. First of all, in a traffic update, courtesy of the 610 restaurant downtown at 610 Pine. And we invite you tonight to enjoy the 610 succulent Gulf shrimp sautéed in butter, wine, and mushrooms, a real Pine Street favorite. Enjoy dinner at the 610 tonight. In traffic at this moment, right now, it's the usual slow-ups. Once again at the north end, always a problem about this time in the morning getting onto the freeway. Both Lake Washington bridges are flowing real well. Of course, the third lane in operation. No tie-ups, not even any stalled vehicles to report at the moment. It's very, very smooth. So in the next 20 minutes, though, usually is when it starts peaking out and the problems develop. And we'll keep you aware of what's happening. Presently, downtown, we have a reading under cloudy skies of 57 degrees, and that's how the weather's going to shape up today, with highs in the mid-60s. Let's update news right now from around the world here at home, besides the nomination of Nelson Rockefeller, courtesy of Bergman Luggage. Bergman Luggage, where experienced salespeople can help you find just the luggage you need. New debate on the old subject of Vietnam, of course, alive again, following President Ford's announcement that he does favor conditional amnesty with alternate service for draft resistors and dodgers. One spokesman for draft resistors in Canada says he wants full amnesty, though, or nothing. Spokesmen for veterans groups say either they're against amnesty or they want it severely limited. Ford, in his speech to the Veterans of Foreign Wars in Chicago, said he is throwing his presidency into the scales of justice on the side of leniency. He ordered that 49,500 cases be reviewed. The cases would include those persons already convicted of evading the Selective Services Act. Senate Republican leaders Hugh Scott and Robert Griffin endorsed the conditional amnesty. Senator Mike Mansfield said he's keeping his opinion to himself. But the limited form of amnesty faces strong opposition, of course, within the military. Well, a federal marshal may show up at former President Nixon's San Clemente estate today to serve him with a subpoena. Marshal Gaylord Campbell said he has received the subpoena, but declines to specify when or in what manner he will deliver it to Nixon. It was issued by Federal Judge John Sirica on behalf of John Ehrlichman. It orders Nixon to appear September 9th at the opening of the Watergate cover-up trial of Ehrlichman. On Capitol Hill, the House Judiciary Committee delivers its final report on its presidential impeachment recommendations to the full House. All indications are it will end up as a footnote somewhat in history, or a reference work at any rate, in future impeachment inquiries. Had Nixon not resigned August 9th, the House was scheduled to begin formal debate yesterday on those three articles of impeachment recommended by the Judiciary Committee. Internationally, the British government announced today it's begun a new initiative aimed at resuming the Cyprus peace talks. A Foreign Office spokesman said the British High Commissioner in Nicosia met yesterday with Greek Cypriot President Kleridis and discussed the possibilities for compromise. The Foreign Office said consultations also are planned with the Turkish Cypriot Vice President of Cyprus. The British denied that they had any concrete peace plan, and they said no formal documents are changing hands in the talks. The Foreign Office spokesman expressed doubt that a formal peace conference could resume this week. And warrants were issued today in Nicosia for the arrest of three persons wanted in connection with the slaying of the U.S. ambassador to Cyprus, Roger Davies. Davies, of course, shot yesterday during that anti-American riot at the U.S. embassy in Nicosia. The warrants were announced by the Greek Cypriot government, but the official statement did not name the suspects or reveal the details of the police investigation. KIXI News Time is 21 minutes now past the hour of 7 a.m.
When someone has been in the luggage business for over half a century, he gets to be an authority on it. Take the case of Cy at Bergman Luggage. Some folks call him Mr. Luggage himself. He's probably the most knowledgeable fellow in Seattle when it comes to fine luggage and leather goods. And the salespeople who work with him at Bergman Luggage are also experts. They'll be happy to advise or help you make the proper selection of size and type for your every need. Right now, you can choose from a tremendous selection of famous name luggage at savings of up to one-third, up to 50% on some items. For instance, a $113 three-piece set now costs only $74.50. $20 attaché cases are selling for just $10, and you can save up to one-half on a group of Samsonite duffel bags, shoulder bags, club bags, carry-ons, and clothes packs. Talk about quality, selection, and savings. You get them all at Bergman Luggage, 2122 3rd Avenue in downtown Seattle.
Prices on the New York stock market have opened somewhat higher. The Dow Jones average up almost 1 point. About twice as many issues have gained as declined. We'll have a complete report on the market at 20 before the hour from the offices of Foster and Marshall, and it'll be interesting to see if there is any market reaction that can be directly attributed to the nomination a few moments ago of Nelson Rockefeller as Vice President of the United States. Of course, we carry that live here on KIXI from CBS. We'll be looking at the weather, a complete look at Northwest weather coming up next. This portion of News 90, we're changing things around a bit this morning because of the President's nominations of Nelson Rockefeller. This portion brought to you by the luggage and leather experts at Bergman Luggage, 2122 3rd Avenue in downtown Seattle. And Jim Kelly will have the weather next. I'll be back right after that with our question of the day and more Northwest news. This is Dean Smith.
KIXI News 90 time, now 22 past 7 o'clock.
At Pacific First Federal, we don't pretend that our product will make you younger or cure indigestion or insomnia. But we have a passbook savings account that pays 0.75% more than what many banks pay you on the same kind of account. It's our 5.25% super passbook with interest compounded daily from day of deposit to day of withdrawal. It'll give you the kind of deep-down serenity that could make you look younger, give you a cast-iron stomach, and you'll sleep better and smile more. Now, if 5.25 won't do it, then consider a high-yield certificate account, maybe our 7.5%er. Minimum deposit $1,000, term 4 years, annual effective rate 7.90%. As you know, there's a substantial interest penalty for early withdrawal of funds. However you look at it, nice dollars like yours belong in a nice place like ours. Pacific First Federal Savings.
Two locations in downtown Seattle and in Bellevue and Auburn.
AIXI News 90, now 7:25.
How much does this new car cost? All right, including white walls? Oh, tinted glass? Reclining buckets? Disc brakes? Well, how about electric rear window?
The true cost of a new car is what you pay for it the way you want it, not stripped. The Datsun 610 Luxury Economy car comes with all those extras standard, things other cars charge extra for, plus full carpeting, electric clock, center console box, and lots more. The Datsun 610 delivers great gas mileage, low maintenance, and high resale value, too. Take a test drive in a Datsun 610 four-door sedan, two-door hardtop, or five-door wagon. Compare costs, true costs. You'll discover the Datsun 610 is a bigger bargain than you thought.
Prices start at $2,579 at your Western Washington Datsun dealers.
Well, just before the weather, let's change things around a bit and go into our question of the day. Of course, I think the most pertinent and germane topic would be the announcement within the past half hour of the nomination of Nelson Rockefeller as Vice President of the United States by President Gerald Ford. I'd like to have your reaction here at Main 36910. Are you pleased or displeased by such an announcement? I guess we'll put it that way, since we have to kind of polarize the remarks. Pleased or displeased, happy or unhappy, by the nomination of Nelson Rockefeller. Main 36910. Good morning, KIXI.
I'm very displeased.
Displeased? Thank you. Good morning, Line 2.
Good morning, Dean. I'm delighted with the...
Okay.
Stars.
Thank you. Line 3.
Unhappy.
Unhappy? Thank you. Line 4.
Pleased.
Thank you, sir. Line 5.
Very displeased.
Displeased? Thank you, ma'am. Good morning, Line 1.
Yes.
Are you happy or unhappy with the announcement?
I'm happy.
Unhappy?
Happy.
Thank you. Happy. Okay, we'll put you down for a happy. Thank you. Line 2?
Fine.
Pardon me?
Very fine.
Fine? Okay, thank you. Line 3?
Very pleased.
Pleased, thank you. Line 4?
Pleased.
Thank you. Good morning, KIXI.
Very pleased.
Thank you, ma'am. Hello, Line 1.
Very displeased.
Displeased, thank you. Line 2?
Displeased.
Displeased, thank you. Line 3?
Stinks.
Stinks, thank you. Line 4?
Very displeased.
Thank you, ma'am. Good morning, KIXI.
Yes, I'm very pleased. I think he's got enough of his own money, he won't steal ours.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, Line 1.
Very good.
Okay, thank you, sir. Line 2?
Very happy.
Thank you, sir. Line 3?
Fooey.
Fooey? Okay, thank you. Good morning, KIXI.
I'm pleased.
Thank you, sir. Line 5?
I don't like him.
Okay, thank you. He speaks very highly of you, sir. Good morning, Line 1.
Very pleased.
Thank you. Line 2?
Terrible. Same old hash.
Okay, thank you, sir. Line 3?
I'm pleased.
Thank you. Line 4?
Great.
Thank you. Good morning, KIXI.
Delighted. Smartest thing Ford could possibly do.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, Line 1.
I'm happy, and so is his wife.
Okay, thank you. Line 2?
Nyet.
Nyet. Thank you. Line 3?
Delighted.
Thank you. Line 4?
Very pleased.
Thank you. Good morning, KIXI.
Extremely unhappy.
Unhappy? Okay, thank you. Jim, we'll give you a chance to total those up. I think we took about, I don't know, 25 or so. See how it came out. And I'll vamp until you're ready here with a look at Northwest weather. Since we had it, couldn't catch that at a quarter past the hour, we'll find out how the weather shapes up. Do you want to take that now, or do you want me to lay that
on?
Yeah,
we can pull the weather now, and that'll be fine. We can catch it after the first story of the local news. And...
Oh, on the readout. On
sure.
It. Okay, we'll give you the readout then on our telephone survey. I'll answer some more calls here, and we'll find out how it goes.
Well, this morning's weather is brought to you by Washington Mutual Savings Bank, where passbook accounts earn a solid 5.25%. Washington Mutual, the friend of the family. Mostly cloudy and cool weather will continue over western Washington today and tomorrow, as an onshore flow of moist marine air remains the dominant feature for the area. Well, east of the Cascades, temperatures will be a little on the cool side, but skies are expected to be mostly fair. The weak upper level and the trough, which moved across the state Monday and kicked off a few showers, is now east of the area, but another is expected to be nearing the area Wednesday, and with considerable moisture in the lower levels of the west side, and the slight chance of showers will continue in eastern Washington.
Let's cut off from the low-level moisture supply by the barrier of the Cascades, so the chance for showers there in eastern Washington will be very slight. Now, high temperatures today and tomorrow will range from the 60s and low 70s for western Washington to the 70s and low 80s for the east side. A quick look, if we may, as far as some high temperatures indicated as of yesterday in parts of the country. Albany showed an 87, Billings 65, Las Vegas 96, Miami 90, New York an 89, Salt Lake City 77, San Francisco 78, and Washington 85. Dallas, Fort Worth, a high with 103, well, exceeded only by Phoenix of 104. We'll have the local weather picture in just a moment.
There are two things you should always want your money to be: safe and available. The trick is to make sure you have both. Burying your money in the basement and pouring concrete over it will probably keep it pretty safe, but troublesome to get at. Keeping your money in the mattress or the sugar bowl makes it easily available, all right, for just about everybody hunting for it. An all-round better way is to keep your money in a Washington Mutual savings account. Your account's insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation and further protected by reserves of $89 million. You can withdraw your money anytime the bank is open. In our 85 years, nobody's ever lost a dime at our bank or been asked to wait for their money either. And best of all, while we're keeping your money so safe and available, we pay you the highest return allowed by law. Washington Mutual Savings Bank, the friend of the family.
In the local weather department, considerable cloudiness through tomorrow, a slight chance of a few showers, brief sunny periods in the afternoon. Highs in the mid-60s, overnight lows about 53, winds mostly southwesterly, 5 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of rainfall less than 20% through tomorrow. The barometer is holding steady at 30.12, downtown Seattle, showing 57 degrees. This morning's weather, presented by Washington Mutual Savings Bank, offering you a wide range of family banking services. Washington Mutual, the friend of the family. Member FDIC. KIXI News Nighty Time, now 29 before 8 o'clock.
And now Northwest News, brought to you by Pacific Northwest Bell, the total communications people. Federal agents raided the two Indian liquor stores yesterday. They confiscated more than a truckload of what they allege is illegal alcohol.
A large amount of alcoholic beverages. The exact amount I don't know yet, but somewhere in the vicinity of 150 cases, as well as a truck and a trailer.
That was the first raid at Nisqually Indian community of Frank's Landing in North Thurston County, second raid at Bob Satayakam's store in the Puyallup Indian Reservation.
At 8:35 a.m., we executed a second federal search warrant at premises known as the Satayakam Smoke Shop near Pioneer Way, just out of Tacoma, and there seized approximately 50 cases of alcoholic beverages.
The agents were armed with a federal search warrant issued by Magistrate John Weinberg in Seattle. Indian activist Hank Adams says legal action is going to be taken to reopen those stores that were closed down. The Bureau said the raids were made because the alcohol was being sold without a special $54 tax stamp or license. The Indian businessmen say they had paid all federal taxes and they were legally selling their wares. And more booze in the news. The Washington State Highway Commission yesterday approves the sale of beer on most state ferries, but it won't come too cheaply. Officials for the ferry food concessionaire, Saga Foods Incorporated, said the firm planned to charge 75 cents for canned beer served in paper cups. The spokesman said the company hopes to be serving beer by the 1st of October. The state share of the beer, including sales tax, would be estimated at about $150,000 a year. Under terms of the agreement with the commission, beer would be allowed initially on the longer runs, which have full food service. This would include ferries to Bremerton, Winslow, Kingston, and Anacortes. Beer service later to be expanded to all runs with manned food service. And still more of the sauce. Initiative 299, the initiative to lower the fluid ounce liquor tax, that's still in doubt somewhat. The result had been expected last weekend, but they're still counting. Jeff Adams has the report.
It must be closed. The final count on Initiative 299 has not been released as planned, apparently because workers in the Elections Division of the Secretary of State's office haven't yet finished double and triple checking bad signatures. The word now from Don Whiting, the election supervisor, is Tuesday afternoon. Friday, the original target date set to release a count was stretched to Monday morning. Now it's been pushed back again. Some are speculating the initiative, which would lower liquor prices in our state by 2 cents an ounce if approved this November, will probably be challenged in court whichever way it goes if the margin is close. Only a few more than 17,000 of the signatures can be invalid if 299 is to be on this fall's ballot. Jeff Adams at the state capitol.
KIXI News Time, 25 before 8.
Sometimes you may see or hear about a telephone or a telephone feature that you'd like to have for your business. And you may think that the only way you can get it is to buy it. But chances are you can get almost any special communication service or special equipment from the same people who have been furnishing telephone service and equipment for nearly 100 years. Your telephone company, Pacific Northwest Bell. Call your communications consultant or any business office.
This public service reminder from Pacific Northwest Bell. We have coming up Seattle's Milk Fund 30th Annual Salmon Derby. That'll be held this coming Sunday, the 25th, at Seacrest Marina and Duwamish Head Boat Launching Ramp in West Seattle, Ray's Boathouse, Gene's Boathouse, and Shoal Shoal Public Boat Launching Ramp in Ballard. Fishing to take place from 5 in the morning till 10 in the morning. That's this coming Sunday, the 25th, Seattle Milk Fund's 30th Annual Salmon Derby. This portion of News 90 presented by Pacific Northwest Bell, the total communications people. We'll have more Northwest news in a moment. Updating the traffic for you this morning. It's a smooth-going morning. There was a little bit of moisture earlier in the north end, but the road surfaces have dried out. The one particularly slow area this morning is on the on-ramps coming southbound in the Northgate area. A bit of a backup there. Both bridges moving relatively at a fast pace this morning, and the Ship Canal Bridge, too, moving along well. You're doing great out there. This portion of News 90, Northwest News, presented by Valley Garage Stores, Puget Sound's Recreational Vehicle Center, featuring the 74 Superstar Winnebago, Valley Garage in North Seattle, Kent, and Auburn. Four persons injured in that accident at the Fauntleroy Ferry Dock in southwest Seattle. Authorities say the accelerator on a car driven by 66-year-old Barbara Appel of Vashon Island, apparently stuck. The car struck four as it roared up the off-ramp from the Ferry Quinault. One of the four, 16-year-old Jay Lilliquist of Vashon Island, still reported in critical condition at Harborview Hospital. I spoke with Harborview about 45 minutes ago, and they said his condition is still critical. He was dragged about 30 feet. Others injured, 31-year-old Kai Soeng of Seattle, 15-year-old Joni Knoll of Seattle, and 17-year-old Mike Campbell of Vashon Island. Eng was in serious condition, Miss Knoll in satisfactory condition, and Campbell was treated, released following the incident yesterday. Western State rapist escapee Richard Ross returned to the hospital at Steilacoom on Sunday night after having spent the weekend in Spokane visiting friends. Rose had been sentenced from Spokane in March with having raped a Spokane woman. William Cannell, the business manager at Western State Hospital, said Rose would be observed a little more closely now.
He had a couple of children over there that were being held by juvenile court, and he was concerned about the family being split up. His wife had just recently moved over to the Tacoma area, and he was concerned about talking to somebody to try to get the family together. And then once he got over there, he stayed or visited with a friend of his. He realized that he had made a rather serious mistake, and he understands right now that it was very stupid on his part, but he was just emotionally upset. And I guess after talking to the friends, why they made a phone call to the program coordinator here at the hospital, and he agreed to come back.
As to Rose's future at Western State, Cannell had this.
At this point, he's in tight security, and he's awaiting evaluation by the program coordinator, and will appear at senior staff this Thursday to find out what officially will happen to him. In other words, whether he will stay within the program or some other action taken.
Well, Jim, I almost completely forgot about the readout of our question this morning. We asked people if they approved or disapproved, were happy or unhappy about the nomination of Nelson Rockefeller.